Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to India Glycols Limited Q1 FY27 earnings call hosted by InCred Equities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nitin Awasthi. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. I would like to thank the management for giving us this opportunity to host the conference call today. From India Glycols Management, we have Mr. Roopak Saraswat, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Manoj Kumar Roy, Chief Executive Director and COO of IGL Spirits Limited, Mr. Akshay Bansal, Executive Director of Nature Biopharma Limited, Mr. Anand Singhal, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. S.K. Shukla, Head of Liquor Business, and Mr. Ankur Jain, Head of Legal and Company Secretary. I would now like to invite Mr. Roopak to initiate the proceedings with his opening remarks, post which we shall open the floor for a Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
So thank you very much, and thank you, everybody, for joining us, and hope all of you are enjoying your monsoons, and I'm sure a lot of you in Mumbai are waiting to welcome Ganpati. So best wishes to all of you. And now, what I intend to do is to start with two introductions. First is the gentleman, Mr. Gagan Quadra, who would be handling investor relations for us. He has joined us. I'm sure his presence will make us better prepared to deal with our investors and better answer your questions and be more responsive. He's had 15 years of work experience in a number of organizations handling investor relations and consulting, etc., which includes Jubilant FoodWorks, LT Foods, and prior to that, some consulting assignments that he did with KPMG. The other gentleman I would like to introduce is Mr. Manoj Kumar Roy, who has joined as the Chief Operating Officer for the Spirits and Ethanol business. As you know, with the restructuring, his role becomes very important. So he's a stalwart in the liquor business, and he will help us answer all the difficult questions that you have for this business. He's got 27 years of experience across engineering, consumer goods, entertainment, and beverages. He's a BTech from IIT Delhi and a postgraduate in business management from IIM Lucknow. He joined from Allied Blenders and Distillers, where he was the Chief Revenue Officer, led seven consecutive quarters of profitable growth. And he spent 19 years with Pernod Ricard India in multiple roles. And earlier, he's also worked with Marico, Saregama India, Sulzer, etc. So I've taken the opportunity to introduce them. I'm sure you'll have an opportunity to interact with them today and more so going forward. With that, let me get started on a quick update on the business, and then we can talk a little bit about restructuring, a little bit about the segments, and so on. So all in all, we've had a very strong quarter. So IGL delivered a very strong start for 2027 with a double-digit growth in gross revenue, EBITDA, and PAT, which was supported by a balanced portfolio and improved profitability. So we've had revenues of 1,129 crores, up 8.5%, and a record EBITDA of 170 crores. So our gross revenue is up 19%, net revenue up 19%, EBITDA up 13%, and PAT up 32%. On the business restructuring front, we've got the NCLT approval. Effective date is to be communicated, and we are progressing the actions as per the plan. The business portfolio overall remains well-diversified, and you can see that we've been improving our business, making it a better quality business across businesses, and you can see premiumization and margin recovery all across. The spirits business recorded a revenue of 361 crores, up 5.3%, EBITDA growth of 14.2%, and the company retained a dominant share in UP and Uttarakhand while benefiting from premium product offerings in these areas. In chemicals, the revenues increased by 20.6% to 362 crores, driven by growth in multiple sector areas, which include bioglycols, green solvents, as well as performance chemicals. Biofuels reported a revenue of 323 crores, with EBIT increasing 19% year-on-year to 27 crores and EBIT margin at 8.4%. NHA Biopharma reported its best-ever quarter, with revenue rising 65% year-on-year and EBITDA increasing 188%. So this growth has been supported by new acquisitions of customers, several nutraceutical launches, expansion of the nicotine business, and in general, improved efficiencies. The finance costs for the company declined by 25 crores in Q1 FY27 from 45 crores in Q1 FY26, and this is on account of debt reduction, which has been supporting the profitable growth as well. Debt levels had reduced during the quarter, with debt-to-equity ratio has also improved. And the proposed restructuring that we received NCLT approval is something that we are going to talk about a little more. So all in all, strong revenue and EBITDA growth, strong margin performance, business restructuring on plan. As far as portable spirits is concerned, the broader theme of premiumization and market leadership continues. On the chemicals front, we've had a good growth across areas, and we'll talk about the factors subsequently. We recognize that our growth will come from new performance chemicals, which right now is small, but I think the pipeline is strong, and we expect it to continue to drive growth year-on-year. As I mentioned, a very strong quarter for NHA Biopharma and good progress with customers, etc. Just to give you a general thing that people generally ask us about is also the impact of the war. Now, the war has impacted us in multiple ways, some good, some not so good. So it is both a combination of headwinds and tailwinds for us. As you know, crude spiked to a four-year high, which also meant that crude prices went up, which also meant that some of the chemicals that come into India from the Middle East, for example, glycols and some other petrochemical derivatives, were affected not only in terms of supply but also prices. The rupee hit a record low, but another factor which impacted business is the fact that freight really became even more determining than the prices itself. So freights, which are for westbound cargoes, have been very, very volatile, going up anywhere between 5-20x, which impacted some of our businesses. So the impact has been that as far as crude is concerned, it had a positive impact on our ethylene oxide business because you see, we talked about over the last three or four years that we had a disadvantage in terms of our bio-based EO being slightly more expensive than Reliance's EO. Now, this is something which was not the case 15 years prior to 2021. However, this changed in the recent past. And for the few months that I'm talking about, we were either similar to Reliance's prices or slightly lower, which meant that we had greater offtake for specialty chemicals and greater penetration for some of the glycols which we sell into India and so on. And the impact on chemicals on the other side, which was that several of our raw materials, propylene oxide, for example, were either completely not available or were prohibitively expensive. So this adversely impacted our businesses in the oil and gas sector, where we were supplying specialty chemicals within India. And we also supply oil and gas materials to the Middle East, which essentially completely collapsed because there was no sale happening to that area. And also, shipments to U.S., etc., became very difficult. So that was a negative impact, mainly impacting the chemicals business. So all in all, high profitability, broad-based revenue growth, breakout quarter for NHA Biopharma, and we've maintained the momentum in chemicals. Another thing that we've been talking about is the fact that if you look at FY22, we had an EBITDA margin of 11%. In 2023, we became 13%. In 2024, we became 14.2%. 2025, 14%. FY26, 16.4%. So the margin recovery story has been, I would like to say, based on a strategic plan that we spoke to you about for the last few years, managing our costs better, managing our feedstocks better, improving the quality of our business, and getting into new areas which drove both growth and profitability. So which is very heartening for us to note that the, first of all, it has been consistent and stable. So there is sustained improvement in quality of the business as seen in these years. So that's a broader point I'd like to make. Now, coming to another important thing, as we've got the approval from NCLT for the demerger, as you know, NCLT has now sanctioned the scheme of arrangement on 17th of July 2026. And upon effectiveness, the spirits, biofuel and biopharma undertaking transfer to dedicated resulting companies. So we start with India Glycols Limited as we have it now, and that is how we've been presenting our results. And this segregates into three different entities. One entity remains as such, which is India Glycols Limited, as such in the sense of name, which will continue to have bio-based chemicals, specialty glycols, new performance chemicals, gases, and any other new areas in the chemical space we may get into. The other big one is Ideal Spirits Limited, which will have the potable spirits business, both IMFL as well as Indian-made Indian liquor, but it also will have the biofuels business, looking at the synergies of the business, which is ethanol, and the fact that a significant amount of ethanol that is produced is actually also required by the potable spirits business. The NHF Biopharma business will continue to have what it has in terms of nutraceuticals and APIs, but the biopolymers business from within the chemical business will now be part of this entity. In order to make sure that our costs are managed well and the expertise to run these businesses are retained within the business, there are, of course, arrangements so that we can continue to manage them with the people that we have without hiring too many different people and managing the overlaps in a good manner. Now, let me take a pause and request Anandji to quickly give you a very high-level financial performance update.
Thank you, sir. So the net revenue in Ideal Spirits for Q1 financial year 27 is 694 crores with the EBITDA of 120 crores. The margin is 17.3% versus 14.7% in Q1 financial year 26. So this is 14.7% growth in the EBITDA in Ideal Spirits. India Glycols, the net revenue is 345 crores, up by 24% year on year. EBITDA is 40 crores, which is 12% up year on year basis, and EBITDA margin is 11.6%. The NHL Biopharma net revenue is 90 crores, which is up by 53%. EBITDA is 10 crores, which is almost about 100% year on year growth, and EBITDA margin is 11.1%. So overall, if we compare the net revenue for the company as India Glycols on consolidated basis is 1130 crores, which is up by 9%. EBITDA is 170 crores, which is up by 13%. And EBITDA margin is 15% versus 14.3% in the Q1 last year. So overall, the tremendous growth and good, very good performance.
Thank you, Anandji. Now, considering that it is Friday evening and we are supposed to talk about segments, we will start with High Spirits. So I would request my colleague, new colleague, Mr. Manoj Rai, to give us an update on Spirits, which is obviously doing very well. Well, that comment was on a lighter note.
Thank you and good evening to all of you. Well, when we look at the numbers first for Ideal Spirits, an extremely healthy quarter. We bifurcated the Ideal Spirits business into two parts. One is the main spirits business and the other is the BIO fuel business. Spirits business had a net revenue of 371 crores with an EBITDA margin of about 22.9%, which is an improvement of 270. When I further bifurcate this into IMFL and non-IMFL business, it's the IMFL business which shows promise. we have grown 26% year on year in terms of net revenue, doing 1.4 million cases, which is a 55% growth over last year. In the non-IMFL business, our revenues have more or less remained stagnant. We are at 279 crores with a volume of 7.5 million, which is a 6% growth year on year. When I look at the BIO fuel business, it's a 7% growth in net revenue at 323 crores with an EBITDA margin of 10.8%, which is an improvement of 250 basis. Now, that's what one performance, and if we have to look at how the business outlook for IGL Spirits spans out for the rest of the year, I think there are six or seven main pivots on which the outlook for IGL Spirits looks encouraging. The first is, when we looked at the IMFL growth, you saw a 26% growth, particularly in geographies where we are operating, the industry or the segments where we operate has either declined or remained stagnant. So considering the kind of movement in the industry and our growth, we see a lot of promise. This is further going to get accelerated because there are quite a few launches planned. There are launches planned in the dealer's whiskey segment. There are launches planned in the semi-premium vodka segment, which will improve our margins further. We would want to focus more on the white spirits business. If we look at the IMFL category, it's the white spirit business which is growing at the fastest scale. And we are strategically placed with our portfolio in this particular segment. We expect to garner a higher share than the segment. You know, there are many times when people build brands in the premium and the semi-premium segment. Rather than building, we have entered into a strategic partnership with Amrut, where we've acquired brands from them and we do the distribution and marketing for them in these selected states. And you would be pleased to know that the kind of aspirations that we have in the premium whiskey segment as well as the single malt segment augurs well. We are looking at doubling our volumes in the Amrut whiskey segment, the three whiskeys that we make with them. And we are looking at a healthy 10,000 plus kind of a volume as far as the single malt is concerned in the states where we operate. The other big pivot through which growth would be driven for IGL Spirits would be through geographical and channel expansion. Our bulk of the business currently is focused in three states, which is UP, Uttarakhand and Delhi. We've just touched the tip of the iceberg in these states. These are big states in terms of the industry size, and we will look at deepening our penetration not only through our existing portfolio but also through other offerings that we have. Apart from this, there would be inorganic gains coming in from introduction of new brands and introduction into new states. We are looking at defense giving us an all-India footprint with the introduction of 3 to 4 new brands. While we speak, there are already 3 brands that are approved and there is one on the anvil. We have had a long-standing relationship with Bacardi, close to about 15 years. And you would probably know that we are the only one in the country which has exclusive facility for them in terms of spirit maturation. This reinforces our position of being a trusted partner, as well as the fact that we can comply with world-class manufacturing practices. The fact that we have captive high-quality ENA and we have enough and more capacity available ensures that this gives us the cost advantage in the states that we operate and protects our margin. We manufacture one of the best qualities of ENA and we are one of the largest manufacturers, thus giving us consistent quality and sustainable cost leadership. What is heartening to also know that in the states where we operate in the non-IMFL segment, despite a declining market where most of the big players in the markets have declined, we continue to maintain our strong position in both UP as well as Uttarakhand, primarily led by the fact that we have built brands in this non-IMFL segment, something which was unheard of in the past. One of our brands, Bunty Bubbly, you would have heard, has received various accolades, including being appreciated by Linca Book of Records as well as Asia Book of Records. The fact that despite the increase in the number of players in the non-IMFL segment, we continue to hold a dominant position as far as our shares in the market is concerned, speaks volumes about the kind of quality and the kinds of brands that we have created, and the strong marketing effort that goes behind these. All this naturally gives us a very encouraging outlook for FY27, and we expect to deliver an EBITDA in excess of 500 crores. Premiumization, which I spoke to you about, and continued growth in not only the operating states, but also the inorganic growth in the new states that we enter, would eventually lead us to becoming a debt-free company from 28 onwards, and we are targeting an EBITDA in excess of 100 crores in the next 4 to 5 years. If we do this, we would probably be one of the top 5 alcohol companies in this country. Rupalji, I hand over to you.
Thank you, Navaj, for a very comprehensive update on the liquor business, or rather the spirits business, including biofuel. I will talk a little bit about the India Glycols bit as per the new structure, which is essentially broadly known as the chemicals business. So for the chemicals business, the net revenue at 332 crores was up 25% year on year with an EBITDA margin of 11.4%. And for the small gases business, it was 13 crores with an EBITDA margin of 23.1%. Overall, this business had quite a good quarter both in terms of volume and value terms. If you look at some of the core businesses, for example, green solvents of glycols and glycol ethers, the volumes were up 6%, the value was up 13%, and gross margins close to 50%. For the glycols business, value up 83%, and similarly, very strong growth in gross margins. The performance chemicals business grew by 40%, which was lower than what we had targeted, essentially for some of the reasons that I articulated. Exports suffered to Middle East as well as other countries, and some raw materials became prohibitively expensive and supply chain disruption, so which had flattish contribution. We saw some growth in terms of EO sales that we sell to the joint venture as well. Now, talking about going forward, it is a business that is very resilient, and we have a strategy on how we will build it. So in terms of looking at this business, we would be leveraging the fact that we are the largest supplier of bio-based specialty chemicals in the world, combined with our joint venture. And we are the pioneer in manufacture of bio-based EO, glycols, glycol ethers, and perhaps the only two-scale supplier of these products in the world. I'm aware of one or two more people who ventured in that space, but none of them make, first of all, to this scale and all these products. So we see, in terms of our drivers, one is our strength in process chemistry, product development, applications, and partnerships. So a lot of our new value-added chemicals are being driven by innovation and applications. We are essentially moving from product to good product, to differentiated product, to understanding applications, to solving problems, to collaborative projects, to strategic projects. And you can see that all across in terms of what we are doing. So we've entered several new spaces. For example, we became the first ever company to manufacture bio-based amines. We started supplying small quantities, and I'm sure over a period of time, it will be a good opportunity to grow. Similarly, we also became the first company in the world to supply carbon smart ethoxylates and glycols, though small right now, but these are technologies for the future, and that is something we look at. We are building on supplying our green solvents business into various end applications like crop protection, food, pharma, personal care, etc. As a part of our new strategy, a lot of our growth will be hinged on innovation that we do with good partners and also grow with them. For example, we will not necessarily become the supplier to every end consumer throughout the world, but we will definitely be partners of choice. And some of the names that I can, with their permission, say, we've got strong collaborative partnerships, not merely supply partnerships, are BSF, Dow, L'Oreal, Unilever, Mibel, and many others. So that continues.
The other thing, you know, I have some kind of aspirations to share with you, and the aspiration that we are looking at is to deliver an EBITDA of about 200 crores and, an EBITDA of about 400 crores and a business which is approximately 2,500 crores in the next 4 to 5 years. That's an aspiration. I mean, I would like to underline it again that that's not a projection. Now, having said that, this is a plan that we've made product by product, customer by customer, and I'm quite confident that we should be getting there. And in addition to this, we are working on new technologies we've not built in because we are not in a position to develop numbers there. These new technologies are, for example, looking at utilizing carbon, producing viable, low carbon footprint products, and some of them can be transformational. Considering that, you know, they have not matured right now, I'm constrained to neither reveal what we are doing nor am I in a position to give numbers. But the reason I'm highlighting this is that we are building this business on the back of innovation, on the back of sustainability, on the back of strong partnerships. Of course, some things succeed, some things take, you know, take time. But given the fundamentals of what we are doing and given what's happening in the macroeconomic environment and the thrust of sustainability, I'm sure this business is positioned to build on very well from here. So all in all, renewable materials is a strategic advantage, not just a credential, a point that I would like to emphasize. There is a structural shift towards specialty-led portfolio, and this will keep on showing more in numbers. Performance chemicals or value-added chemicals is moving well, and we've got a strong pipeline and expect it to continue to become an important part of the chemicals business. And I already spoke about, you know, innovation being something that we are genuinely doing very well, and our collaboration with the reputed people, which will help us drive growth. Now, coming to another interesting segment of ours, which is NHF Biopharma. So NHF Biopharma, as I mentioned, achieved its best ever quarterly performance at 83 crores, growth of over 30% in the prior quarter. Thiocorticoside sales registered a robust growth of 26% over the prior quarter, previous quarter, supported by a strong order pipeline, improved price realization. However, the raw material availability and pricing continues to be, you know, volatile and a challenge in Q2 as well. In nicotine, there has been growth and there has been capacity expansion. Nicotine sales grew 2 times quarter over quarter, driven by customer conversions in Europe. Nicotine food processing operations, we also started in our Kashipur plant, adding significant capacity. And we continue to focus on strengthening our branded nutraceuticals portfolio to various strategic initiatives. So, in short, when we come to NHF Biopharma, the story is there is sustained growth momentum. We've expanded in an important area, which is nicotine, both in terms of sales as well as capacity. We continue to focus on strengthening the branded portfolio. We are taking several actions, for example, new certificates, approvals, etc., for global market penetration, driving customer and product expansion, and the long-term value creation will continue to happen through disciplined allocation of capital. In terms of our aspiration for EBITDA, I think over the next 4 or 5 years, we are aspiring to do 130 to 150 crore EBITDA. Now, I underline this again. This is a call that we are having before the clarification of the businesses, and you know, we are sharing our aspirations with you, and we are conscious of the fact that when we put up a number here, it is something that you will hold on to us. But again, this is an aspiration. This is not something that we are giving as a projection. Of course, it is not out of the blue. This is based on an exercise given by people. The world is so dynamic. There are so many things happening. But we did think that you wanted to ask us about what your aspirations are. So I will not qualify this as a plan or a projection, but yes, we are happy to share these aspirations. This is from my side. For some more on financial, Anandji, would you like to say something? Otherwise, we will go on to the taking questions.
It is already 4:30. I'll request for the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Ragini Ramkumar from Newgen Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Good evening. Am I audible?
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So I had one question. One question. It was regarding the portable.
Sorry to interrupt, ma'am. Your voice is not audible. May I request you to please use a handset?
Hello. Is this audible now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. So my question was regarding the guidance for portable spirits for the rest of this year and the next financial year.
Yeah, so what's your question, ma'am?
Hello. Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
We can hear you. Please proceed with your question.
Oh, so my question is regarding the guidance for portable spirits for this financial year and the next financial year.
You want the numbers or you want the performance?
Performance and numbers both.
So when I look at the EBITDA numbers, we've already shared that with you. We are looking at an EBITDA in excess of 500 crores, of which 120 crores is something which we have already delivered in Q1. When I look at the volume, we are looking at doubling our volume from what we delivered last year. The basis for this doubling of volume is, I told you, deeper penetration in these states, four states where we operate, with a larger offering of brands, particularly in the deluxe whiskey segment, the rum segment, and the semi-premium vodka segment, which have healthy margins. This is at a time when the industry last year, or for the last 3 years, has been showing a CAGR of 4 to 5%. The outlook for next year, we expect to continue to grow in healthy double digits. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Namaskar team. I hope I'm audible.
Yes.
Yes. Sir, thank you firstly for the opportunity and congratulations firstly to the team for very strong set of numbers and also deliberating on the fact on revamping the entire investor presentation and making it concise and also relevant for us by giving us segment-wise numbers, our aspirations, which were all not present since till the last presentation. So kudos to the team for doing a commendable job. Awaaz aa rahi hai? Hello?
Yeah. We can listen to
Sir. Yeah, thank you. Sir, only on the NSU part, Rupak sir, if you could just explain to us what is in the annual going ahead in terms of the capex that we have planned for the current year. And you have mentioned about the contribution for the first quarter. How is this going to scale up with the introduction of new products and the customer engagement which you just outlined? And what should we aspire for this NSU? What are the fillers? Some more color on the face.
So, since you asked me to talk about aspiration, I will talk about aspiration. Just one second. So, as far as CAPEX is concerned,
I do not expect a huge amount of CapEx happening this year. So there may be incremental CapEx, but we are talking about perhaps, you know, 5, 10, maybe 15, 20 crores based on the plans that we have right now. Now,
Hello?
So Anand,
Your voice is.
It is not a very CapEx-intensive model as of now, but as our businesses grow, we will continue to have modular expansions. This is not a business where we expect suddenly a 400-500 crore plant to be put up. Not right now, unless we are looking at some breakthrough technologies to be invested, but that I don't see happening for the next two years, maybe after that. And as far as the aspiration is concerned, you know, this is dynamic as we work on these, you know, projects. We aspire to be 150 crore plus in this year, and we aspire that in 4 or 5 years, we see this business to be possibly a 600-700 crore business. But what is important is, from a profitability perspective, we expect that a business which is, let me just check what the margins are, which is close to maybe 16-17% right now. We expect that by 2030-2050, we will do take significant actions to improve the quality of the mix, as well as, you know, pricing for the innovative product. And we expect, newer feedstocks, which will be more viable. So I expect that by, you know, in 5 or 6 years, when I'm talking to you about the turnover of about this time, our gross margins will be closer to about 30%.
Okay.
Again, I think underlying aspiration.
Correct, sir.
There's a difference. You know, people are asking guidance, I'm giving aspiration.
Yes, sir. Everything taken with pinch of salt, sir. I can understand. Yes.
Sitting here in an investment call, it's important for me to make sure that I.
Correct, sir. Correct, sir. So, sir, as on date, can you give, you have the ballpark number of how much we have invested in our NSU segment from the date of inception?
See, there are, in terms of the core plant expansions that we've done, we've not invested too much. We've used some of our existing assets, and as far as new plant additions is concerned, we are probably talking about 50-60 crores.
Okay. And sir, I think so, in your presentation, we have, I missed your point on the JV performance. So how have been the performance? I think so the numbers are good there also. So how is the JV going to perform going ahead? And I think so some milestones will also be achieved this year in terms of, we receiving some more payments. So some color on the same.
Yeah, the joint venture, for the reasons that I mentioned to you, has been doing well. So what has driven growth in the joint venture is the fact that the disadvantage on ethylene oxide pricing has been reduced because of the current scenario. So that has driven good growth. So compared to Q4, for example, the net revenue of the JV went up by 21%, which is very good. EBITDA also went up quite significantly in high double digits. And compared to the last quarter, the growth is not as high in numbers, but the JV is doing well, both from Kashipur as well as from products from Clariant that they sell in India. And what we also see is there is a greater thrust on exporting products made out of India into other Clariant customers worldwide. So in short, I think it is heartening for us to note that despite some of the toughest years that IVL had over the last 3 or 4 years, for reasons that you well understand, the JV performance, by and large, has been on track. You know, we all were very concerned when our ethanol prices went up, our EO costs started to become less competitive to us. But I think actions in terms of improving the product mix, working closely with our customers, importing wherever required, trading in some areas, and with a bit of good luck, right now. I think the JV is doing quite well, not only for the quarter, but for the time that we've seen. Anand, would you like to add something?
Conditions.
Yes. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, sir. So for this quarter on the JV front, I think so we have posted 21 crore profit on the profitability front. So, sir, are these numbers sustainable going ahead? I think so this is a significant jump. If you take the last year, annualized number was 46-47 crore. And Q-on-Q also, we have seen a good jump. Last year-on-year comparison is flat, but only wanted to understand the color and the nature, as you mentioned just now, that we can expect the trend to continue. So that understanding is correct?
Saket, look, maybe I will not split too many hairs, but by and large, it is a fair assumption. See, if I get my numbers correct, and Anand, you can correct me, the PAT number was closer to 19 crore for the same quarter last year anyway. So 21 crore this year is not something which is completely out of the blue or completely unexpected. Yes, there are just the fact that it has been a good quarter and there have been some tailwinds, which is fine. But I think there are reasons to, and I deliberately delved into saying that I'm not only talking about the JV performance for the quarter, but broadly, if you take an overall picture for the last 4 years, it's by and large been as the plan or perhaps better, despite the significant headwinds that we faced, which I do take some consolation from.
Right, sir. Thank you once again for a very revamped investor presentation. There are a lot of inputs for us to ponder upon. And thank you for simplifying the same very well articulated, sir. And all the best.
So which means that Gagan is doing a good job right from the beginning.
Yes, sir. It's a commendable one. I must use the right word there, sir. मैं हार्दिक बधाई देता हूं उन्हें कि बहुत ही विस्तृत जानकारी दी और बहुत ही मैंने प्रॉपर पैटर्न से बना के दिया है। So it answers many of the questions. So जो भी मैंने पूछा, वो भी presentation में
हम लोग बिल्कुल बेकार काम कर रहे थे पहले।
सर।
मतलब कभी-कभी लोग time है। So Saket, I am being on the lighter note, but that is me.
ठीक है, साहब। And sir, biopharma का performance भी काफी improve किया है, best quarter रहा है, और आपने आगे के लिए भी उल्लेख कर दिया है। So nothing more to add to it. I'll join the queue, sir. And बहुत-बहुत धन्यवाद, सर, आप सभी का।
इसके बाद कहां से join करें?
Thank you, Saket. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. So my question is on the IGI spirit segment. So two questions from my side. So firstly, sir, can you share the number for prestige and above segment specifically, if you could, in terms of what is the number of cases and what was the growth in that category specifically?
Okay. When I look at the IMFL segment, we gave you a number of 1.4 million. Prestige and above is roughly 500,000. And this is almost double of what it was last year.
Sorry, I missed the last part. Sorry.
This is almost double of what it was last year in the same period. 500,000 is P&A and above.
Okay. Prestige and above is half of the total cases, and which is double of what you did last year, is what you said, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And sir, can I get this data you've shared for the first time as part of the presentation? I wanted to just understand for FY 2026, what was the IMFL revenue and what was the total number of cases? If you have that number, you can share it.
For IMFL, the total number of cases was 3.4 million for the full year.
Okay. And what was the total revenue from IMFL?
Revenue, I will have to get back to you. I don't have it off the hook.
If there's some questions, I think direct it to Anandi or Gagan. We will get back to you with more details.
Yes.
Perfect, sir. Perfect. Yeah, that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Akash Gupta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. So I have very small two questions. So in your PPT, in the first IGL Spirit segment, you say that the revenue is 371 crore, including other operating income. I assume that Mathani job work is included in that, and that was around 10 crores. Is that correct?
That is
yes.
One of the components, yes.
Okay. What is the other component, sir?
There are other sales, there are ENA sales, and there is power sale from Gorakhpur.
Okay, all combined 10 crores.
Yes.
Okay. So my other question is, so I was just going through this new slide on Kamrup. So the five SKUs that
Akaji, your voice is not clear.
Is it better now, sir?
Yes.
So I was just going through the five Amrut products that you have given, Macintosh Whiskey, Macintosh Rice, Prestige, Green Fusion, Single Malt, and Amalgam. I assume the nature of partnership with Amrut is same across four, wherein you'll be responsible for distribution and marketing of all five in select North Indian markets?
In select North Indian markets for the time being, and we wish to extend this to some of the other markets, particularly in the east, when we venture in those markets. If you look at Amrut's presence, they are predominantly concentrated in the west and south. They have very insignificant presence in the north directly and the east.
Okay. Okay. And would you be able to tell us how much is the royalty that will go to Amrut?
That is something which we cannot divulge.
Cannot disclose.
Okay. Right. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Akash.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. We have the next question from the line of Aman, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Aman, please unmute your line and proceed with your question.
Hello.
Yes, please go ahead.
हाँ जी सर मुझे ये पूछना था कि जो EBITDA है last two quarter by quarter basis में क्वेश्चन करते हैं आनंद सर से CFO. Hello.
Voice is not clear. I am not able to hear your question properly.
So I want to know कि जो EBITDA है quarter by quarter basis में last two quarter में जो उसका जो वो impact आ रहा है वो losses में आ रहा है in the percentage form. दिसंबर 25 में देखेंगे आप 10.26% फिर आपका जो जिसका मार्क में नेगेटिव 5.16 एंड 1.69 है जून क्वार्टर में जून 26 में. हेलो
नेगेटिव है यू आर कंपेयरिंग क्वार्टर वाइज क्वार्टर दी एबिटा.
यस सर आई एम अकॉर्डिंग कंपेयरिंग दैट एंड कोइंसिडेंस ये है कि जो इंटरेस्ट एंड डेट है आपका वो भी रिड्यूस हुआ है दो क्वार्टर में. तो उनका जो आपका ये इबिट्टा है ये सर एक जो नेगेटिव है फिर बहुत मार्जिन में भी इंक्रीज हुआ 1.69. तो क्या कहते आपका. हाँ जी बोलिए.
लास्ट क्वार्टर मीन 31st March 26 देयर वाज एन इनकम आउट ऑफ द डिविडेंड ओके फ्रॉम द क्लेरियंट विच वाज अबाउट 39 crores. So that's why in the last quarter the EBITDA was about 203 crores. In the current quarter, since there is no dividend income because all dividend income comes in the last quarter. So that's why this quarter we have the EBITDA of 170 crores.
Sir, I'm EBITDA growth ki baat kar raha hu. ये बिटा ग्रोथ 10% का फिर नेगेटिव 5.16 हुआ, फिर 1.69 हुआ है। और जो हमारी जो फाइनेंस रेवेन्यू है वो
पॉजिटिव ग्रोथ, दैट्स व्हाई यू वांट टू से।
बट सर तो नेगेटिव भी आया ना सर, मार्च 25 में क्वार्टर बाई क्वार्टर का बेसिस में चेक करेंगे हम, और देखेंगे अगर 10.26 था दिसंबर में फिर नेगेटिव फिर मार्च।
हाँ जी, आई विल एंड रिक्वेस्ट यू, यू सेंड अस द मेल, वी विल गिव यू द रिप्लाई।
बट आपकी जो रेवेन्यू ग्रोथ है वो तो 15.78% है, और जो आपके कॉस्ट ऑफ मटेरियल कॉस्ट है, फूड एंड अदर कॉस्ट है,
जवाब हम आपको देंगे, आप हमें मेल भेज दीजिएगा, आई विल गिव यू द रिप्लाई। ओके,
बट एक क्वेश्चन पूछना था, जो डीमर्जर से बेनिफिट क्या होगा, ऑपरेशन एफिशिएंसी क्या होगी, मतलब आई वांट टू नो दैट।
सो लुक, द स्ट्रेटजी फॉर द डीमर्जर ब्रॉडली इज मल्टीपल फोल्ड। फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल, द पोर्टेबल स्पिरिट बिजनेस has gathered some scale both in terms of volume as well as profitability, and it is a consumer business. So the dynamics of a consumer business, as you would understand, are significantly different from a B2B business. And we thought that that will bring us much more focus in that business one. Second thing is, both in terms of partners as well as investors, many people want much better clarity on what they're investing in rather than a mix-up. So some people have an appetite to invest in consumer businesses, some people have an appetite to invest in B2B technology businesses. So that is...
Hello.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Aman. I'll request you to please rejoin the queue for any follow-up questions. The last question comes from the line of Pragyam Latha from Omni Management LLP. Please go ahead.
I joined the call late, but sorry if my question has been already answered. So just one question. The number of cases grew this year, but revenue didn't grow proportionately. So what was the reason? At one end, we are saying that we are moving towards premiumization, and at this other end, we see that volumes are growing much faster than revenue. Can you explain?
Good question. And... You know, इसके दो ही आंसर्स हैं एंड दो रीजंस हैं। वन इज द ब्रांड मिक्स एंड द अदर इज द स्टेट मिक्स। व्हेन यू लुक एट आवर मिक्स, आई टोल्ड यू वी ऑपरेट इन थ्री स्टेट्स, द मोर ग्रोथ दैट वी गेट फ्रॉम उत्तराखंड ऑगर वेल फॉर अस, लेसर ग्रोथ हायर ग्रोथ दैट वी गेट इन दिल्ली डज नॉट ऑगर सो वेल फॉर अस। दैट इज क्वेश्चन आंसर टू वन पार्ट ऑफ द क्वेश्चन। द अदर इज इन टर्म्स ऑफ ब्रांड मिक्स, आवर in the IMFL category, our mass premium segment grew faster. That's because we had new offerings in those segments. Going forward, in the outlook that I presented to you, I spoke to you about a couple of offerings in the deluxe whiskey segment. I spoke to you about an offering in the semi-premium vodka segment, and I spoke to you about renewed focus on the white spirits business. These are high margins, and that is how we will try and improve our margins going forward. And as well as revenue, you will find our revenue growth exceeding the volume growth in due course of time because of the premium mix.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much for my question. Taking my question. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take one more question from the line of Amit Mishra from Daksham Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is, for FY27, what percentage of revenue for Portable Spirit will be coming from IMFL?
Percentage
of revenue coming in from IMFL would be in excess of
30%. 30%.
Okay. And sir, what will be the EBITDA margin for IMFL and Country Liquor for this year?
So, if I were to answer that question for you, you know, contrary to how most of the other investors feel, ये जब आप लोग P&A की बात करते हैं, P&A में जब तक आप deluxe या semi-premium whiskey की बात करते हैं या offering की बात करते हैं, उसमें मेरा सिर्फ एक ही statement रहेगा, alcohol is alcohol. चाहे मैं आईएमएल की बात करूं या चाहे मैं स्पिरिट सेमी प्रीमियम विस्की ऑफरिंग की बात करूं, योर ग्रॉस मार्जिन यू विल बी सरप्राइज्ड आर ऑलमोस्ट द सेम।
ओके
थैंक यू, वील टेक दैट एज द लास्ट क्वेश्चन एंड आई वुड नाउ लाइक टू हैंड द कॉन्फ्रेंस ओवर टू द मैनेजमेंट फॉर क्लोजिंग कॉमेंट्स। Thank you and over to you.
Thank you very much all for your interest in our organization in India Glycols and your good wishes. Hopefully we've given you a good picture for where we stand right now and the direction that we are taking way forward. And I also thank some of you who appreciated the positive improvements in our investor presentation, etc. Thank you for your feedback on this. We'll continue to take your feedback and become better. Thank you. Have a good day and have a good weekend, everybody.
Thank you very much.
On behalf of InCred Equities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your line.